from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you gone?
The Fan.
Hour number three, on a Thursday afternoon, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, 995 HD2, or watching along on youtube.com/1080AMTheFan or twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. And also, USA, USA, USA.
It was awesome. I'm still riding the high.
Yeah, yes. On the last moment on that Vancouver Ford text line, a couple people are like, you know, it's great the Team USA won, but they shouldn't be that close. I told you guys heading into this cycle, and I'll say it again. The world is catching up.
No doubt about it.
That's a real thing.
No
Team USA is still a class, but the world is catching up. It is the. Did you see this? Forbes? I think Forbes had it. Basketball is the fastest growing sport in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
It has surpassed soccer. Like, it's becoming the global sport. And with that, that's why you have these NBA drafts now, when you've got multiple players in the top five who are international players, international prospects.
So, no doubt about it. And look, I always go back to, you know, the dream team murdered.
Yes.
In the Olympics.
But it also spread the gospel of basketball.
It did. And they played against five NBA players, mm-hmm, in those Olympic games. Five.
Yeah.
Today, against Serbia, now, the best player in the world is Nikola Jokic, yes, right now. He was on that Serbian team. Bogdanovic is on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Every single team that they are playing, the French team that they'll play for a gold medal has nine NBA players, mm-hmm, on it. Are they the caliber of the U.S.? No. And the United States should win a gold medal, mm-hmm, again this year. That being said, the competition has risen so dramatically across the globe that you look at it and you go, yeah, these games are going to be tighter. And look, the dominance of USA basketball, winning by 40...
That's not happening anymore.
It's not going to happen anymore. But there still is a commitment to win on the American side.
Yes.
And that is the important thing, because the worst thing that can happen is what we had in the early 2000s, yeah, which is a fall off in people caring and wanting to be a part of it.
Yes. Speaking about caring and want to be a part of it and getting things done early, there's a couple teams in college football that have the opportunity to plant their flags early. You dug into the schedules and the opportunities for a couple higher end programs to where they can get going right out of the gate because they're presented with some, I would call them challenges and opportunities.
Yeah, look, we always break up the season into quarters, right, or thirds, and you want to win that third of the season, the first three games, or win the first four games of the season. You kind of break it up into those cycles because of the way that a schedule is, the war of attrition that you go through, and we have some compelling games out of the gate. We know that we have, you know, in the first 3 weeks of the season, you have Alabama going up to Wisconsin to play, LSU and USC out of the gate. And we're always treated to some good games. Clemson, Georgia is another one that we have early in the season. But I was looking at some teams in college football that may not be in the forefront of our minds right now as national title contenders or viable playoff contenders, but they're going to make their case early in the season. And we know one or two games early in the season can really change the narrative of how the rest of the country thinks of you.
100%.
And I wasn't looking at, you know, Ohio State or Oregon or Georgia per se, but I was looking at the tier kind of next to them. And then which teams could either have a boom or a complete bust in the first 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a team that we've talked about a lot when you're looking at the bust prospect of all of this is Colorado.
100%.
You know, their first three games of the season, they come out and they play FCS powerhouse North Dakota State. Then they have to go on the road to Nebraska.
Which, regardless of what state they're in, and that they're not, you know, the Tom Osborne era, Nebraska is still a difficult place to play at, and I think they're going to be on the path towards getting better.
They absolutely are. And the fact that Colorado gets them in week two is huge for the Buffs because of the fact that Nebraska is rolling out Dylan Raiola as a true freshman, five-star quarterback, and he's going to have to work through some stuff. Their first game is against UTEP. They should take care of that, and then they have to host Colorado immediately after that. If Dylan Raiola and Nebraska had to go on the road, I think that might be a little bit of a different conversation that we were having about this game. But you look at what happened last year, Colorado came out like gangbusters, and they beat Nebraska in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? It was 36-14.
Yeah, they had the TCU game and then the Colorado game.
And that was the, oh, look at this. Colorado is back under prime. Mm-hmm. You know, they beat a team that was in the national title game, which took a big face plant. And then Matt Rhule, it was his debut and kind of coming out party in Nebraska. And they were like, all right, you know, he would turned things around very quickly at Temple, did the same thing down at Baylor. You know, he's going to do it at Nebraska. It proved to be a far more challenging test for Matt Rhule as they went 5-7 on the year. TCU fell flat on their face last year in Big 12 play. That was another 5-7 team. And as the season wore on, we said, this Colorado team isn't that impressive, you know? And then they went to, was it double overtime against Colorado State?
Yep.
The week before coming to Oregon and absolutely getting mopped by the Ducks.
And had a quarterback and a wide receiver running the same route tree for three quarters.
For three stinking quarters. But Colorado is this team where if they win the first three games, then they have a little bit more momentum going forward because they don't have the schedule that they even had last year, right?
I think you could call it momentum.
Momentum. They got momentum.
Got a little momentum behind.
They got more momentum heading down that path of going better than 4-8.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, if they stumble out of the gate and they go 1-2, or if they get blasted by Nebraska, the wheels are going to come off very quickly again at Colorado because Deion didn't hold on to all of those coveted prospects.
No, and they don't have all that depth, and they don't have the ability to withstand injuries. And heaven forbid, you know, Sanders or Hunter take a little bit of a knock because either of those guys miss time. They're cooked.
They're cooked. They are. They're done. Toasty, toasty. Another team that I have on this is University of Florida. Billy Napier's under a ton of fire and a lot of pressure right now.
Well, to be honest, I think with this three game stampede to start the season, as insane as it is, I think he has to go 3-0 or he gets fired midseason.
Well, in that, locally, what that means is then you got to start getting a little bit concerned if you're Washington fans of losing your coach in back-to-back years,
mm-hmm.
which I will I will say this. It's not a death sentence to your program, and it's not an indictment on where Washington is.
No.
If Kalen DeBoer leaves for Alabama one year, and then Jed Fish, who is a University of Florida alum, and begged Steve Spurrier to get on his staff as a coach, if that goes, you can be just fine, but you better nail that third hire, yeah, right? This is the University of Oregon, Mark Helfrich, Willie Taggart, Mario Cristobal thing, mm-hmm, right?
Yes.
You have to make sure you get those hires in line, and this would be more of a, you know, to a far lesser degree, because it's DeBoer, mm-hmm, to Jed Fish, your Taggart to Cristobal, where, mm-hmm, it's just like one and done really quick, but that fear is probably there for Florida fans, because if you look at those first two games, first three games that they have, they've got Miami, which is ranked 19th.
Which I don't understand, but okay.
It's, you got Cam Ward, you got Damian Martinez,
yeah,
you have Mario Cristobal saying that he's going to come out of the gate and open up his offense a little bit more,
which,
and they have been recruiting at a high level because that's what Mario Cristobal does. Mm-hmm. It's in-game management that has been Cristobal's bugaboo. See his time at Oregon and then, mm-hmm, last year taking a knee, right? There are, you have this, Miami is trending up in the recruiting rig, and talent wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talent wins. But if Florida can come out and they go 3-0, because they go Miami, Samford, Samford, and then Texas A&M, which is ranked 20th in the preseason poll, they got two top 25 games. Preseason polls mean nothing, but you know what the perception, and we talk about this every year, the patient zero across college football of this Florida program may be that, where people will be like, gosh, maybe Florida isn't that bad, but they're going to be facing Mario Cristobal Miami in week one. Week three is Mike Elko and Texas A&M, first year head coach. We know A&M has talent, but can they put it together? Because that's A&M's whole thing. If they go 3-0, all of a sudden Florida becomes this hot commodity in college football, and people start speaking far more highly of the Gators. If they go 1-2, I think Billy Napier is out. I'm with you on, mm-hmm, that. They're going to pull that ripcord and say, we're going to be the first one to start looking, and we're going to be putting feelers out across college football.
Because if you're, my whole thing is, and you've heard me talk about this a million times, if you're on the hot seat, just get it over with.
Yeah.
In college football, there is no reason to not just get it over with.
No. Because you know that the portal's going to open up no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Then those guys are going to jump in there if the coach leaves. You will have to start a rebuild immediately.
Why not get ahead of it?
Get ahead of it and go. But Florida is that one where if they go 3-0, though, instead of 1-2,
you can quell a lot of storms.
You can, and it helps you in your recruiting, mm-hmm, because those are two programs that you go up head-to-head against in recruiting for guys, whether it's in-state with Miami or on the national level with Texas A&M. You can start getting a lot of people in your good graces around the world of high school and college football, and especially your fan base. The top two are the ones that I believe, it, with a hot start, they'll plant their flag as, no, we're playoff contenders this, mm-hmm, year. And the first one's USC.
Mm-hmm.
USC out of the gate, their entire schedule is a gauntlet.
It's one of the toughest schedules in the country.
But if you come out of the gate with LSU, mm-hmm, which preseason is a number 12 team in the country.
And it's a off-site game that is favorable to you because it's in Las Vegas.
It is in Vegas.
LSU does travel.
And how. But this isn't like when
this isn't going, you know, to
Oregon played them in Dallas.
Yeah.
Or when Oregon played Georgia in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they're not, like, neutral site.
Yeah. LSU's no, gonna travel here. USC will travel well enough, but it's not going to be at home.
It won't be a true road game, no, like those other neutral site games will. But USC can come out of the gate if you start this season 3-0, because you go LSU, Utah State, and then you have Michigan, mm-hmm, next. You would have two top 15 wins under your belt out of the gate. And if you do that with Miller Moss, replacing Caleb Williams, if you do it with a level of physicality that they have been preaching with Lincoln Riley mm-hmm. and the new defensive staff under D'Anton Lynn and company, because he has two other previous head coaches on staff as defensive assistants, then at that point you say a lot of people will start changing the narrative about how they feel about USC, and the gauntlet of the schedule will still be there, but talent in the skills are not the question with USC.
It's the physicality and the
physicality and their depth. And their depth is going to be tested, because
particularly in the offensive line.
They still, after you go through those first three games where you have LSU and Michigan in your first three, you still have Wisconsin, Penn State, Washington, Nebraska, and Notre Dame on your schedule.
Penn State's on the road.
Well, no, Penn State's at home.
Oh, is that one at home?
You go to Michigan.
Oh, that's right.
You go to Michigan, you got to go to Washington late in the year. And I still contend USC November games in the Northwest have not been kind to USC.
The mister just doesn't get it done.
And I do believe, though, that Washington team will be far different at the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year.
And there's a reason why I keep saying that, even with it's USC, that should always be good at this schedule and this transition and where they are in their recruiting stuff. Like, 8 wins is where I'm at.
And that would be just fine.
But if they win 9 or 10,
yep,
they're going to find themselves in that 12-team playoff.
But if they start that season 3-0, plant that flag, and we know that the wheels have come off at the end. The serious momentum is there, and even if the wheels do fall off of them, every other team that beats them will be propped up by those 2 wins early in the year. As wildly unfair as it is in college football, because teams, you can improve, can get better over the course of the season. See Stanford, see every Jed Fish team. But that they are a team that we could see skyrocket with success in the first 3 years and plant their flag as a team that belongs. But style, instead of just wins and losses, I think style matters for them.
Yes,
in what it
does,
looks like.
It does matter.
And it's not style as we know USC and putting up a lot of points and burying teams. It is, playing a physical brand of football and your defense not being a sieve when it matters the most.
There was a quote out of practice the other day from Mason Cobb, the transfer linebacker from Oklahoma State, who struggled last year. And unfortunately, he took a shot at Tackett Curtis in pretty terrible fashion. I want to get the exact quote. He felt like he was playing alongside a ghost.
Damn.
Which he says he doesn't now with Mascarenhas coming down from Oregon State. So,
God, that is... I don't like him saying that.
Yeah,
that is brutal.
That's a pretty nasty one.
Yikes.
On the flip side, Mason Cobb was what led the nation in tackles the year before at Oklahoma State, and his total dropped drastically at USC last year. And as much as you can say, well, the guys in front of him weren't peeling blocks off or that, but also your guy next to you wasn't filling either.
Yeah.
So
the 4th team that I have in this is a team that can plant their flag with a quick start in 2024, in their first 3 weeks of the season, is Clemson. Clemson is a team that went 9-4 a year ago. They had losses to Duke to open up the year. They lost in overtime to Florida State when Florida State was fully healthy at the beginning of the season. They had a loss to Miami in double overtime and a loss on the road right after Miami to North Carolina State. They beat Notre Dame. They beat North Carolina at the end of the year. They finished off the season on a 5-game winning streak, and Cole Klubnik shined for Clemson. This year, out of the gate, Clemson has Georgia, Appalachian State, North Carolina State. All bowl teams from a year ago.
NC State's a damn good team, too.
And North Carolina State is one of those sneaky teams this year that people are like, why are they ranked? Because they're building in the right direction, right? You have, Dave Doran, their head coach. You know, the guy who... Didn't he yell, why don't you shut the hell up, to somebody at the end of a game last year? Dave Doran is trending in the right direction. They're a preseason top 25 team. I think they're ranked at 22nd right now. But Clemson has Georgia out of the gate. That isn't a, hey, you win this game, you plant your flag. You play Georgia tight. Dabo proves that his way of recruiting high school talent, developing players, not dipping into the portal, and not having a lot of attrition out of the portal, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're building it completely different than everybody else in college football right now. And they are seeing that their recruiting rankings are not as high as they have been, where they were perennially top five when they had that thing humming. But Dabo has really leaned into, hey, we're going to coach these guys
up. Develop the high school guys.
And they have lost since losing Brent Venables to Oklahoma as his head coach. When they lost, oh gosh, they their offense coordinator went to Wake Forest, maybe?
Don't know that one.
But they've had a little bit of turnover, and you saw things starting to click last year. If you come out of the gate and you beat Appalachian State, North Carolina State, play Georgia tight in week one, which is far easier said than done. But you've even said this, like they're, you know, Georgia is not the overwhelming powerhouse that they were. Mm-hmm. They're still
incredible.
The best damn team in preseason number one. You play them tight though, week one, you're going to plant your flag as a team that isn't going anywhere and is completely viable for that 12-team playoff, which in the preseason coaches poll, they're on the outside looking in at.
And if you do slip up a little bit in the beginning of the season, but you handle, but you're, again, if you're just tight with Georgia,
keep it tight,
and you run the lack of gauntlet in the ACC, you can find yourself there as long as you go 2-1 through that stretch and you're competitive with Georgia.
Yeah, because right now, if you look at the ACC, Clemson's second highest ranked team in the preseason out of the ACC. And the only team in the top 10 is Florida State at 10th. The teams that you're going to have to go through this year, if you are Clemson, are Florida State, Miami, and North Carolina State. This year, you don't have Notre Dame on your schedule as a crossover, as they play part of that hybrid schedule. You have North Carolina State in that week three game, so you get them early. You get Florida State relatively early, mm-hmm. but you have to go down to Tallahassee. Outside of that, it's a totally winnable schedule from there on out. After Florida State, their toughest games will all be in the first month and week 1 week of the season. October 5th, they play at Florida State. After they play Florida State, they have Wake Forest, Virginia, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Pitt, Citadel, South Carolina. You're not looking at a murderer's row right there. You are not looking at a schedule that is daunting down the stretch. That's Virginia Tech and Louisville will be tough outs.
Sure.
But they're not going to... you're not looking
at... If you're slipping up there, you don't deserve it anyways.
You may not play a ranked team in the last 2 months of the season.
That's like it's like Grants Pass driving up the hill. Once you get past the top of the bluff, you just coast on down.
Look at you with your two Southern Oregon references. I like this right now.
That time it wasn't even a shot at him.
No.
How much is too much for Dak Prescott? That and more here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
70 million dollars. That's a lot of Dak Prescott.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I forgot about this. I read this story because I just put it in the back of my brain. Yeah, we have.
Because that's what every Cowboys fan wants to do.
I'm not even a Cowboys fan. This is quite the development here. Now, should be noted, this is coming from a fan site, right? Cowboys
Country.
It says
an NFL source tells CowboysCountry.com that with patience, Prescott's value will hit $70 million annually.
So, Dak Prescott in the Dallas Cowboys, their negotiations have gone nowhere, and it's been kind of on both parts of, hey, you know, we may be a little bit far apart here. Dak is a very good quarterback, and I want to make it very clear. I think Dak Prescott is a good quarterback.
He's not $70 million worth of good.
No, he's not.
And to be clear, the fan site that it's come from is Athlon Sports, but it is written by Mike Fisher, who's covered the Cowboys since before you and I were alive.
A very, very long time. Yeah, yeah. And with this, apparently, you know, Dak Prescott has said all of the right things throughout this and that. He wants to win. He wants to be part of a winning culture, and he wants to help the Cowboys win, all that stuff, right? Snuck in this, though, in the Dak Prescott wanting the $70 million, Fisher says he appears to be committed to the, quote, fraternal obligation to the other quarterbacks in the league, which is, as we all know, the next guy up gets the biggest bag, right? That's why we saw Daniel Jones get a lot of money. That's why we've seen, you know, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and then you have Jordan Love now getting massive bags, mm-hmm. right? You get a quarterback, you want to keep him at all costs. There will be a team that is desperate enough to pay Dak Prescott an ungodly amount of money. And we know that that will happen.
I don't buy it.
I look at Dak Prescott, though, and although I just got done saying he is a very good quarterback, he also came into the league where he had unquestionably the best offensive line in the league. And they were six deep on the O-line yes. when he came in.
And it wasn't like, oh, that's pretty good. Like, it was the best offensive line in the NFL, hands down.
He has had weapons galore.
He has never not had stuff.
Whether it was Amari Cooper, whether it is now CeeDee Lamb, you know, Michael Gallup had a couple of good years. Michael Gallup already retired. That's crazy to me. But, yeah. But you look at injury related.
Oh, okay.
But it is, Dak Prescott has had a lot of tools around him. You can say what you want about the coaching that has been around him, whether it is Garrett or McCarthy. Neither of those guys apparently know what they're doing in calling plays. But the talent has been unquestioned. And when it comes time to those franchise quarterbacks, those number one guys, to lead the team to a victory, do you feel confident enough that you can put the team on Dak Prescott's shoulders and he's going to win the game?
Never.
And that's where, like, $70 million is a lot of money. Like, the Daniel Jones contract, it paled in comparison to that. But he was even overpaid.
Yes.
And I'm not putting Daniel Jones and Dak Prescott into the same basket because Dak Prescott is a very good quarterback. Daniel Jones is not a very good quarterback in the NFL.
Dak Prescott, how much did Jared Goff just get?
Oh, man. I don't remember what Goff's deal was.
Because that's the most money I would be willing to pay. And even then,
4-year, $212 million extension with $170 million guaranteed.
What's it, like 60? Less than 60?
Yeah, 50, he's up in that 53 million.
53, yeah.
$53 million a year.
53, okay. I can go to that for Dak. And even then, I'm plugging my nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm plugging my nose on that. I'm not happy about it. Look, man, I have not put a fist through a wall since the Raiders drafted Darius Hayward Bay.
That was a hell of a day.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's Al Davis's final like chef Brother, kiss. I've lost it.
Look, man, fist went through the drywall. It's just it was standing next to the wall, it was just I didn't even turn. It was just a straight fist through wall. I was so viscerally angry. If the Raiders gave Dak Prescott even the $53 million, they'd need new drywall.
And they knew, yeah. Dallas is in a completely different boat here because CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, paying those guys too. And you're not going to have enough money to go around. They botched all of this with Ezekiel Elliott. The contract is kind of where it all started.
Yes, that's where it started unraveling.
And them becoming in salary cap hell and having to make decisions on their offensive line and on the defensive side of the football where you're sitting there going, all right, we're just going to have to throw our hands up in the air and say, we don't know what direction we're going to go in. But they're going to continue to be in that hell if they do bend the knee and pay Dak Prescott the money that he wants.
Look, I don't. It's going to be really interesting.
$70 million?
Yeah, I don't care where the cap's at. I don't care if the cap's $700 million. I'm not giving him $70 million. No. There's just no world where I can talk myself into that. I don't think Dak's a bad quarterback. But if you're talking about – this is the kind of thing where if you're a GM, do you want to keep your job or do you want to win?
Exactly.
Because
– and that's what he said to this point is he wants to win. But you can't have both of these things right now.
And if you're a GM, that's literally how you present this.
Mm.
And if you're the GM, if you give him that, you're prolonging your career for probably 2 years, but you're also putting the noose around your own neck.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get down the road and you're just going to be screwed. The thing about this that I find really interesting is in the same conference, different division. In the NFC North, you have got Sam Darnold with a bunch of weapons, a decent offensive line, and a competent defense.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, maybe a good defense.
Very good defense this year.
If Sam Darnold goes out there and looks not okay, but above average, I don't know how if you're the Cowboys, you can look at Dak and go, see ya.
See, and what I don't get is that the whole spin of all of this is that you know Jerry Jones has already presented the, hey, man, if we want to win, this is the road we need to go down. Mm-hmm. You can't be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
No.
Because in order to win, we need to keep the other pieces around you. Because have you seen yourself play in crunch time? Have you seen yourself in the playoffs?
You're Kirk Cousins.
At that point, we all knew that, and everybody with a brain has all said, there's no way you can keep this together and you're going to pay Dak an exorbitant amount of money. We all knew at that point that Dak was in this to get paid, which, hey, you have a short earning window.
Yeah.
Go get paid. But don't try to pull the wool over our eyes and sit here and tell us that it's about winning. It's not.
No.
And now whoever gave him the advice or whoever leaked the fraternal obligation to the next quarterback that is up is the dumbest person in this conversation.
My God. I'm up now. That's not how this works. And that's what I'm saying. That's the thing I keep saying. Who's going to be the executive who goes, screw this?
You know how well that is going to be sitting with Dallas fans being like, you know, Dak Prescott, he cares about winning, but he also cares about the next quarterback that's going to get paid on another team.
Yeah.
That ain't going to sit well with any Cowboys fan.
No, God, no. It's just, it's all very, 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 very dumb.
Vancouver Ford Tech side, Tony Elliott. He was a former offensive coordinator at Clemson. He's now at Virginia, not Wake Forest. Virginia. Yeah, Tony Elliott.
I know you're going with that.
No, it was just I spaced on his name last segment, and he's Tony Elliott.
An interesting trend in the NFL is continuing as well, not even just along the quarterback line, but how young the NFL is getting. We'll get to that and more. Can be Danny and Dusty, Tony the Fan. An interesting trend in the NFL is that it's been going younger.
No way. It's like a meat market, man. They're just churning dudes out.
Maybe Maurice Claret was right. Maybe he should have been allowed to go to the NFL.
At 19?
That's probably a little young.
I think the drinking I think that was the bigger issue with Maurice Claret than him wanting to go early.
Yeah.
You know, getting his goose on at Broncos camp.
Yeah, was
that might be my favorite story of training camps.
Was he in a robbery?
Yes. He went to prison.
Yeah, I'll say he...
But he would call it getting his goose on. He had a Gatorade bottle filled with Grey Goose that he would take sips out of during water breaks.
Which is just...
It does not seem conducive to performing at any level.
That's... And again, substance abuse.
Alcoholism.
Like it's a severe problem.
Yeah.
But on the young side, thinking about the all under 25 offensive team.
Ooh.
And you start looking around and you realize Brock Purdy is younger than Bo Nix and Michael Penix.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Those guys, they went for super duper senior years in college.
But Purdy's 24 years old and already has a couple years of NFL experience.
Yeah. And look, Brock Purdy is it's really interesting. I mean, you look at his numbers with and without Deebo Samuel on the field. That last year, that three-game losing streak that they had where his accuracy numbers and completion percentage went dramatically down. His yards per attempt went dramatically down. He is a very good quarterback, but at the same time, he's a product of having the most talent in the NFL around him.
Super useful.
Very
particularly
useful
for a young quarterback, much like a Dak Prescott when he came into the NFL.
And one of the brightest quarterbacks, coaches, and offensive minds in the NFL as well. Those are good things to have.
Here's something. I'll pose this to you. Who is the youngest of Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Ja'Marr Chase?
Amon-Ra.
They're all the same age.
Yeah. Okay.
They're all 24.
Yep. And that makes sense.
But it feels like, particularly Chase, has been around forever already.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, remember, he had to wait a year, though, because he's in our mind because of how dominant he was
right
in college. Well, in college, because he was linked with Joe Burrow. But he had to wait a year until he could finally get back with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
You start looking, and this is where I think things get a little interesting, is I feel like the position that takes the longest is not quarterback to fully master and understand and be successful at. While you have the highest bust rates, offensive linemen, to me, feel like they, to be truly great, it takes them a couple years, and then they kind of, you Jason Kelce this, where once you reach a certain understanding and level, it's just fine-tuning mastery.
I think, yeah, but with those guys, you have it so early or you don't. You know, I mean, it is like you can have quarterbacks work through some stuff and you can have your Jared Goffs. Very rarely do you have a guy who comes in and is unplayable on the offensive line and then all of a sudden he's like, oh my God, he's amazing.
Robert Gallery is the only one I can think of off the top of my head where he was so bad as a left tackle. It was like,
they moved him inside.
Yeah, they moved him to guard. But that's the only one that I can think of off the top of my head. But Charles Cross, the left tackle in Seattle, is 23 years old.
He's a young buck. And look, the guy who is wildly young in the NFL as the league is skewing younger was Penei Sewell, was 17 years old starting as a freshman at Oregon.
He is 23.
Yeah. And he is.
He's on his second contract.
He's on his second. That guy, first of all, he is so strong.
There is a note that came out from Kayvon Thibodeau of the Giants, when the Giants and the Lions just practiced. And they asked Kayvon Thibodeau if there's anything on earth that he's kind of afraid of, you know, spiders, snakes, whatever. He said, no, nothing like that. But I am getting tired of Penei throwing our asses around.
Yeah, because they're doing the joint practices with Detroit leading up to tonight's game. Yeah. Because there are certain people it's very true. Poly strength is real.
It's different. It's a different thing.
You hear the guys that played at Oregon when Holodianato was there, and they're just like, you would just pray. I mean, even in practice, when he was going easy on you, he would absolutely ragdoll guys. And we're talking like guys like Max Unger.
Yeah.
Who was an all-pro center and one of the best centers in the NFL. When he was a freshman and Haloti was a senior at Oregon, it was like he would just throw you to the side. Like you were a piece of meat and just be like, no. There is something to these guys who are just ridiculously powerful. Penei Sewell is one of those. And he makes this CBS Sports top offensive players under the age of 25, and he's going to be on there for two more years.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I saw a chart or a graph that kind of showed that the average age of the bell curve of the NFL had gone down over the last few years. It's been getting younger and younger and younger. And one thing you and I talked about during the break is, could we see that go back up as NIL is a way for guys to make money while staying in school so they don't have to jump to the NFL if they're not ready because they're trying to get their contract started?
Yeah, I think that the NFL number might be being skewed because we've had in the last handful of years, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, all exit the NFL. They're bringing those two guys alone brought that.
Bringing the average down. Rodgers is the only one hanging on now.
In Matt Ryan.
Oh, goodness. All right, coming up, we salute a legend to close today's show. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. The best anecdote, dialogue we've ever heard from an arrest. A goat truly lost today.
But you just assured me that I could speak.
Sit down inside the car. We're not assuring anything. We're under arrest.
Look, I'm under what? Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest. Have a look at the headlock here. See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis! This is the bloke who got me on the penis before.
Get some cuffs.
Why did you do this?
Pop in the car.
Get some cuffs.
For what reason? What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? Oh, that's a nice headlock, sir.
Oh,
yes. I see that you know your judo well. Good one. And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis? How dare get your hands off me?
No, well, we've only got one.
Ta-ta! And farewell. One cuff, look! They even...
Jack Carlson, falsely arrested under false pretenses of a mistaken identity of a credit card scam. Unfortunately, he's gone. He has passed away.
Why did you do this?
82 years old. Good run. Figured he was older, but 82. Good run for Jack Carlson. RIP.
You know your judo well is such a tremendous line.
Oh.
I see you know your judo.
There are so many great lines in there.
Succulent Chinese meal.
This is Democracy Manifest. I see that you know your judo well. And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis, a succulent Chinese meal?
I mean, it's just banger after banger after banger.
Man, RIP Jack Carlson.
Gone too soon.
Legend of this radio program as well. Mm. He'll live forever in our hearts and souls. Mm. All right, that
and
does
our succulent Chinese meals.
That's always. I will never eat a succulent Chinese meal without thinking of Jack Carlson.
Indeed.
That'll do it for us on a Thursday. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. See you Friday right here on The Fan.
Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.